Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can you hit a pit-a-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the rain, but I'm not afraid. This rover.
You know what I just did? I just walked out that door, saw a couple detectives, and I was about to start bad-mouthing you behind your back. But I stopped myself because my pops taught me that a man who talks behind somebody's back is a coward.
Wow, I actually appreciate that.
Good, because I'm going to tell you directly to your face.
No, you don't have to.
No, I don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
If we were in the wild, I would attack you. Even if you weren't in my food chain, I would go out of my way to attack you. If I were a lion and you were a tuna, I would swim out in the middle of the ocean and freaking eat you! And then I'd bang your tuna girlfriend.
Okay. First off, a lion swimming in the ocean? Lions don't like water. If you'd placed it near a river or some sort of fresh water source, that makes sense. But you find yourself in the ocean, 20-foot waves, I'm assuming it's off the coast of South Africa, coming up against a full-grown 800-pound tuna with his 20 or 30 friends, you lose that battle. You lose that battle 9 times out of 10. And guess what? You've wandered into our school of tuna, and we now have a taste of lion. We've talked to ourselves. We've communicated and said, you know what? Lion tastes good. Let's go get some more lion. We've developed a system to establish a beachhead and aggressively hunt you and your family. And we will corner your pride, your children, your
offspring.
How are
you going to do that?
We will construct a series of breathing apparatus with kelp. We'll be able to trap certain amounts of oxygen. It's not going to be days at a time, but hour 45, no problem. That will give us enough time to figure out where you live, go back to the sea, get more oxygen, and then stalk you. You just lost your own game. You're outgunned and outmanned. Did that go the way you thought it was going to go? Nope.
Crossed over if I never have a cent.
Oh, well, we just set a new record for the longest, this rover insert ever. What was that from?
That was from a movie called The Other Guys with Will Ferrell and
Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg, thank you.
Never did see it.
Oh, my goodness. It's hysterical.
There's a lot that I've never seen. Speaking of that, Dan Buffa is in today, and I'll tell you what I like. We only have, actually, after today, only one more visit with Mr. Buffen. It's Halloween.
So I'd like
And we talked about this before, but I'd like to talk about really scary movies. And I made this clear. To me, an alien coming out of somebody's chest, that's not scary. Scary is real, so real that it either is based on something that happened or it could happen tonight. That kind of scary. You know, like Breakdown with Kurt Russell. Or it's not a guy with a knife slashing people. It's a guy whose car breaks down. And man, oh man, does bad stuff happen.
That was Sandra Bullock's first movie.
See, I can never remember who the girl was. Was it Bunnocks?
Yeah, it was Sandra Bullock, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anybody want a bonus joke?
I would love one.
Just in the mood, I don't know, to tell a bonus joke. So, this is for married people. I think you'll appreciate this. I almost hate to do this because this is a joke I still have not told here. We're not to the end of the line where we start repeating jokes. I'm still on, and I'm doing my best to not repeat and see how long I can go without repeating a joke. It's been over a year, and this is one of those, but I'm just going to kind of throw it away here as a bonus joke. The guy and his wife are getting ready for bed. They've been married for quite a while, you know, 35, 40 years. And she's standing in front of a full-length mirror, just looking herself over. And she says to her husband, she says, you know, when I look in the mirror, she said, I see an old woman. My face is wrinkled. Look at my boobs. My boobs hang down to my waist, my butt. sagging and hanging out and down. Look at my legs. How fat my legs. Look at this cellulite back here. My arms. She starts moving her arms. Look at flab. Flabby arms. And she turns to her husband. She says, please tell me something positive about myself. He says, well, your eyesight is great. Would not advise doing something like that. If you're married, it won't be a good idea. So welcome to the show, Dan Buff in the 4 o'clock hour. A pretty loose first hour. It'll be you and us, maybe some Burke segment, and that's kind of going to be it. I'm still trying to decide if I want to invest in a really great costume Halloween. I don't go to Halloween party. I've never been to a costume party in my life.
You've never been to a costume
party?
No,
I don't do that.
Really?
Wow.
I would just play with it all year at home. Like, I have a couple of good masks. They're not for Halloween. They're just for any time I want to go to the closet and get them and go around the corner to my grandson and go, wow, you know, and they're realistic. They're the full, you know, pull them over your head.
Right.
They're not the one with the rubber band behind them. But I went online. There are some costumes that, honestly, they look like something straight from the movie set of a horror movie. They're so realistic.
What are you thinking of getting?
I don't know. Just something really realistic and creepy. So that, like, if you were in a car and you looked over at the car next to you, they'd have a heart attack. That real. Because it's like a bloody head with an axe in it, or, you know, eyeball hanging out or whatever.
Mm. So I'm trying to... If you want to do that while driving, what you need to do is get one of those costumes where you can make yourself look like the car seat. And then the car is driving itself. Have you ever seen those before?
Yes.
That is what you need.
Yeah. Right? Now you're talking.
There you go.
All right. My assistant, my ex-assistant.
Hey, look who's here. Tim Woodburn.
What's that crowd? My ex-assistant for my PI firm moved in with her boyfriend about 2 years ago, and I have this video on my phone as proof, and he was a manager at Menards on Manchester Road.
Save big money at Menards.
Pretty plug.
So I walked. He didn't know who I was. He knew me by name, but he knew what I looked like. And I walked. And I knew what he looked like. And that's a recipe for disaster for anybody who's associated with my world, because I love to mess with people. Mm. And I walked into that Menards store and I found him. That's a big store. I walked around and I found him. And in this voice, I said to him, "Excuse me, sir. Did you sell clown outfits?"
So you were making fun of people who are challenged.
No, I wasn't. I was not. I was insinuating that I was a really creepy dude. That's all I was insinuating.
I said, pretending to be speech impaired.
Right. Well, I mean, that adds to the creepiness. Not all speech impaired people are creepy, but that adds to creepy people, is my point. So he looks at me and he says, what? I said, there's some kids in my neighborhood. They're playing soccer on my lawn. I want to scare them. Do you have any clown outfits? And he said, no, we don't really carry that kind of stuff around here. And I said to him, well, do you have one at home I can have? I was just all over this guy. And then I asked him at the end of the conversation if Menards, I had like a basket of stuff, like I'd been shopping. I said, okay, well, no clown. Do you take Hawaiian money here?
Hawaiian money?
He goes, I said, do you take Hawaiian money here? And he goes, no, you're going to have to go to the bank and get that exchange.
Oh my goodness. What an idiot.
He actually
didn't he was the manager. Oh. and I videotaped the whole thing, and then I sent it to his girlfriend, who's my employee.
Wow.
She calls him 5 minutes later. She goes, you're not going to believe what just happened to me. My boss just sent a memo out saying he's going to pay us in Hawaiian money. And he goes, there was just a guy in here trying to float some Hawaiian money. What's going on around here? Oh, it was the funniest.
That reminds me of that thing I told you. I saw Britney Spears in that interview from a few years ago where she's talking about her mother spoke British.
Oh, yeah.
And they said, you know, you have some history and your family goes back to Great Mix. Oh, my grandmother spoke British. And I just thought, oh, my. And you're a gazillionaire? And you, holy cow.
You know what that voice sounded like? The water boy, Bobby Boucher.
Yeah, oh, Adam Sandler.
He's a little more southern speech impediment.
What a great. You know, now you make me want
to
do.
I was trying to do the guy that did the stapler. The guy, have you seen my stapler?
From Office Space.
That was the voice I was trying to do.
Well, what's frustrating now is I want so badly to tell the slow talking Bob joke, but I told it right after we came here. And see, here's what's interesting.
Well, it's
folks.
Been longer than
well,
a year.
Yeah, it's been a year.
I'm still trying to stay on the track of not repeating. But here's the thing. Here's what's interesting about jokes. You can't tell Pollock jokes, but you can tell the same joke. Well, you can't.
Yeah, I don't think you can say Pollock.
Yes, you can,
either.
And I'm going to tell you why. Because I call the guy who forever and ever has trimmed my trees.
Uh-huh.
All right, he is Polish. His last name is very Polish. Blah, 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 ski. Okay. I called him and he said, you know what? He said, I've retired from that because he's in his early 70s. And he was hanging up from ropes. He said, but I turned my business, my tree trimming business, over to a great young guy. He said, he's another good Pollock. That's what he says to me. He's another Pollock, and he gives me his name, and it's a Polish name. So, yeah, you can say Pollock, especially if you're quoting a Pollock, you can say it.
And there was a Blues defenseman, Roman Pollock.
Was there?
Yeah.
Pollock.
No, it was Pollock.
No, it was Pollock.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, there was no C in it, though. It was P-O-L-A-K.
So my point was this. Jokes are interesting. You can tell the same joke, but you just change the character. Now, all those Pollock jokes, which, by the way, before that, were little moron jokes. When I grew up, it was, you're about the little moron who went into, okay, and for whatever reason, you can't do that because there actually are kids who are morons, so don't do it. Then it became Pollock. And then now, with us, it's FM DJ jokes. But
you did repeat one joke already, so you've already bust that bubble. So
no,
you
got to slow
it. It was the joke where the guy named his daughters Rose Petal and whatever, and then the last girl was Brickzilla.
But I did it as a bonus repeat. Oh, I didn't do it as that day's playhouse.
And this could be a bonus repeat.
Yeah. And that joke, by the way,
yeah,
one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And one of the few that ever got any complaints, and it got one complaint. Oh, my goodness. See, this was frustrating. Now I want to tell these jokes again, especially slow-talking Bob, because that used to be a stuttering joke. I think a lot of people know the joke, would I?
Oh,
yes. You can't tell it anymore because, all right, I'm gonna say what was in the joke, but I'm gonna preclude it by saying this is a disclaimer, letting you know that we know you can't tell this joke anymore, but it's an example of how we've had to change for a handful of people. The joke was, a guy who's very introverted and insecure because he had a wooden eye. He couldn't afford, you know, like a really good artificial eye. It was made out of wood. And he was really self-conscious about it. And he just walked around thinking, everybody knows I've got a wooden eye. When in fact, not true, but in his mind they did. So he avoided people. And a relative finally convinces him to go to a local dance. He said, man, you gotta get out. You gotta get past this thing with your eye. Get out. It's not a big deal to anybody. So he's at the dance and he's awkward. And there's another, please don't email me. Please don't complain about this. I'm giving you an example of what we don't do anymore. Okay. So there's a girl there at the dance, and she is the only other person who seems to be as shy, as self-conscious, as insecure as he is, because she has a hair lip. Okay? So he's got a wooden eye, and there she sits. And he thinks, well, she's the only girl here that looks like she might be different enough to accept me and understand. So he walks over to her and says, excuse me, would you like to dance? And she said, oh my goodness, would I? He goes, hair lip. Now, it's a funny joke, but for some reason.
Now it's a cleft palate.
Yeah, cleft palate.
But here's the thing. You also couldn't tell if she said, would I? He went, Cleft palate.
Then
you couldn't tell that either. You can't say albino. Now, folks, I'm just going to tell you something. No, you have to say a person with albinism.
Oh, yeah.
No. Dan and I, Dan was there when we got in trouble. Boy, some lady was just bent all out of shape because we told a story about an albino. It was just a story in the news. I said, then, you know, the young man's an albino. Whoa, man, she wrote me a letter. Don't you ever say albino. My son has albinism.
Yeah.
And we do not like, can't say midget.
It's a person with albinism.
I think in time, everything just gets eliminated. You have to change it to something. Yeah, person with albinism. So you can't do those. But, boy, I changed stuttering to slow talking Bob, and it still works great. Still a good joke. So you just can't say stuttering Bob
now,
anymore.
According to dictionary.com, you can also refer to an abnormally white plant as albino, as an albino plant.
Well, that's okay, because it doesn't hurt human feelings.
Right, so next time you say it, just say I was talking about the plant.
Yeah, I was calling your kid a plant. Yeah. That'll work. So, does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
All right, I'd like to introduce for those newcomers, heir to the Levi Strauss fortune, Dan Strauss. Dan, it's all yours.
Oh, thank you so much, Frank. I was reading reading this story this morning, and it comes out of Kansas City, which your daughter lives in Kansas City.
Right outside, Overland Park, Kansas.
And the police pulled this car over, and the passenger in the car was actually a felon. He had a felony record.
Okay.
And they checked his backpack, and he had cocaine in the backpack, and he had guns in the backpack, which everyone knows, if you're a convicted felon, you're not supposed to have guns. Right. You're definitely not supposed to have cocaine. So they bring this guy in. And his name is Sean Sykes Jr.
Okay.
They bring him in, and the detective sits him down. So now this is a federal. He's charged with federal felony of stolen firearms, which they turned out to be stolen firearms and cocaine trafficking. And while the detective is asking him questions, he asked him a question. The guy leans over and does the one-cheek sneak.
Oh, to the cop?
Loudly, yes.
Right in front of him.
Right in front of him. And every time the detective asked a question, he leaned over and did a one-cheek sneak.
All right, let me stop you right there. First of all, that's a special talent because to just do it at will.
Yes.
Or at anybody. Will, Bob, Joe.
Yeah.
But I can't do that.
No, I can't either.
If I wanted right now to cut one, I couldn't do it.
Mm-mm. No,
but some people can do that. It's like belching; they know just how to, like swallow air or something.
So the detective had to end the interview because it was getting too smelly in the.
It's like being in the gas chamber.
I know. He had to end it, and that was it. That's basically the story. Is the detective was doing that, but this guy just kept leaning over, and one cheek sneaking him. That's a good name for it, though.
Oh, yeah. One cheek snake. You want another bonus joke?
Love one.
Sure.
I just thought of this guy was walking around one night in Washington, D.C., and a mugger wearing a ski mask jumps right out in front of him. The guy's very well dressed, by the way. He jumps right, sticks a gun in his ribs, and says, "Give me your money." The guy says, "Hey, you can't do this. I'm a United States congressman." He says, "Okay, then give me my money." I got a million of them. Anything else, Dan, for the Burke segment?
That was it.
Anybody else?
I do.
Ladies and gentlemen, author, clock resetter, head of research, head of news, newscaster, private investigator, Tim Woodburn. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Dan didn't get a call.
No. And the audio version is available.
They're on their feet, too.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
I have an ex-girlfriend that I'm on friendly terms with, and she had a nephew when we first started dating a while back who was about 5 years old, and he affectionately referred to me as Uncle Tim.
Well,
this kid is now a sophomore at Auburn.
Nice.
He's still a sophomore at Auburn University. He still calls me Uncle Tim. He still calls me every once in a while for advice on
stuff.
He's
still a sophomore, and he's 42 years old.
Third grade was 3 of the best years of his life. Kidding. He calls me this morning, and his mom who is my ex-girlfriend's sister, and her, they're in Cuba traveling around. So they're incommunicado via phone for whatever reason. So this kid calls me. He's all upset. And he sent me a picture of it on my phone. He went to a fast food restaurant down in Auburn and walked in and bought a soda and then walked off the property for about 35 minutes. Like, he just, like, took a little walk around campus, left his car parked in the parking lot. 40 minutes it was parked. The parking lot wasn't full. It wasn't like, you know, he's taking up somebody's spot and people. They towed his car.
Whoa.
From this parking lot, and a $110 tow bill.
Okay, was he in a place that said your car will be towed? These are the hours.
It had to be a reason. I'll tell you, it was a Burger King. It was a Burger King in Auburn. All right. So, according to him, he said that there was, you know, unattended cars will be towed, you know, but I mean, this is the middle of the day. Andy was a paying customer and he'd gone inside the store to buy the soda. So he was asking me how I thought, what I thought he should do to handle it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I immediately started thinking of the decade game my dad and I used to play, which is how would you handle an event today? And then how would you handle it 10 years ago? And how would you handle it 10 years before that and 10 years before that? You know, keep going back. I said, Henry, I said, if I was you, if I was 20 years old and somebody towed my car for $110 and I'm a poor college student, I'd have thrown a rock through the front of the building. $110 worth of damage. He's like, well, what's your next idea?
Said, my next idea would be find out who the manager is and then kill his whole family.
Right. Yeah.
In front of him.
So this kid wanted me. I said, well, I was surprised to hear from him. I'm like, why aren't you calling your mom or why don't you, whatever? Well, they're in Cuba. They can't really need somebody to vent to. I said, fine. So how can I help you? What would you like me to do for you? He said, well, if I get the manager's first and last name, will you do a background check on her and let me know what kind of car she drives?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm like, why? Are you going to wash it for her?
You don't want to know anymore. You don't want to know anymore.
I said, yeah, just don't tell me anymore. I said, sure, send me your name. I'll see what I can do for you. So what would you have done if somebody had done that to you? If you walked into a fast food restaurant and they towed and you wouldn't.
Well, the fast food restaurant didn't tow the car.
They did. They did.
They called.
Yeah. They called the tow company, and the tow company towed the car, and it was $110. He just said.
Did they know the driver of the car was a customer?
Mm-hmm. She said I saw you walk off the property.
Well, so what?
That's what I said. I couldn't believe it.
She probably thought he's just going to use our. He's going to get something to eat and then just go who knows where and be gone for 2 or 3 hours. But that's jumping the gun.
I did an investigation about bars that do this. They're in cahoots with these towing companies. And what they'll do is, like we're in a strip mall right here, this L-shaped strip mall that we're in with the Oberweis Deli and the Kirkwood Brew House is the bookends and the Bulls Gym in the middle. And the owners of these strip malls will post a sign that's about as big as my hand on some obscure wall somewhere in the thing. And it says, any car left unattended overnight will be towed at the owner's expense.
Overnight,
exactly.
Right.
And then what they'll do is the tow company will come and sweep the lot, and they'll just tow all the cars, and then they split the proceeds with the...
But he wasn't parked overnight.
I know, but I'm saying that...
I know.
Sometimes businesses are in cahoots with towing companies, is my point.
And you know, and what happens if you're over at the Kirkwood Brew House, you have too much to drink, and you decide to call Uber, Dan Buffa, and he comes and picks you up and takes you home.
And you had to leave your car.
Yeah, and you leave your car here overnight, and then you get up and it's towed the next day because you decided you had too much to drink and you wouldn't drive. That's crazy.
Yeah, you know, the only thing I think to do, and I do this when Scott Sherman's in here, I say this a lot. What town was this? Auburn, Texas?
Auburn, Alabama.
Do they have their own TV station? Local? Big enough for local? I'm telling you, man, it's something people don't want to hear when you say, I have a friend that works at Channel whatever. Mm-hmm. They would love to do an investigative report and find out whether or not you're in cahoots with some towing company. Because when you tow somebody like me, who's been and I'll bet you, rather than have what they think is going to happen, a reporter come out and expose them, they'd rather just cough up the $110 and be done with that. Yep. That's the biggest threat I can think of is Elliot Davis is on the way, you know, or the equivalent of him in that town.
And that's what he should do, try and contact, because doesn't every TV news station now have...
They desperately need programming. Sure. They need local news stories. They do. Nothing worse than a slow news day. And you can tell when they're standing outside and they reach down and they pulled up and drop snowflakes in the front of the camera and go, look, you can tell they're desperate for a story. We know what snow looks like. Yeah, it's a slow news day. No,
I'd have flown off the handle when I was 20 years old. I mean, today I would have just, you know, barked and sent a nasty letter and asked for my money back and tried to be diplomatic about it. But 20 years ago, 30 years ago when I was 20 years old,
I would have too, probably. Story.
The other thing you can do, and this is not exactly above board, but what if you just called them as a news assignment director at Channel whatever and say, we got a report that one of your customers, they wants to do an investment. We've been sending a crew out there. Mm-hmm. That'll shake them up. I mean, and then they got a chance to call you and go, look, call off the dogs and we'll pay you the $110. I'd rather pay $110 than be on TV as some horrible business that tows its customers.
It just doesn't seem to me that that's right, that, you know, that a business has the right to tow your car for leaving it there for 40 minutes when you're a customer. It seems, I just wonder what the ethical law is on that.
And it was 40 minutes?
What he said.
That's his story.
You know something? That's I don't bad. Think we do a lot in St. Louis. Maybe I'm wrong. But I've seen people walk out to their car, and when they see this, it's like, it's that boot. That boot that locks your wheel. There is nothing you can, you're not going anywhere in that car. You are not, you're done. And I guess they lock it till they can tow it or something. It's their way of telling you, hey, you're not going to come get out of this. We locked your, we don't, do they do boot? I don't see boots around
I don't
here.
See a lot of it in St. Louis. I don't know if that's a thing.
It's like a, what's that tool you put in the steering wheel when you can't turn the wheel? You know what I'm talking about? What's
the club?
Yeah, it's like the club for a tire.
I have a buddy who used to own a buy here, pay here lot in St. Louis. He used to repo his own cars, which I highly advise against because people get mad, plot guns when you start taking their cars.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he repoed a car, and it had a club on it, on the steering wheel, so he couldn't turn it, right? So he had a truck that was down the street, and he had a ramp, and he was just going to drive this car straight down the street. He repoed the car, got in the car. He's going to drive the car down the street, up the ramp into this box truck, slam up the back door, and take off with the car because it had a club in it.
Yeah.
And as he takes off down the street, he parked his truck about two blocks away. It was a one-way street. Somebody made a wrong turn down the street, come toward, and he can't turn the car to get out of the way, so he had to abandon it in the middle of the street.
Do you ever repo anything?
I have.
One time, I got hired. I was actually already working. It was a furniture store. And this guy had done this before, buys all this furniture, doesn't pay for it. They had to go. So I happened to be working there on a Saturday when so they said, you're going along with, and they told me the truck driver's name. And I'm going to tell you something. It's scary because, they knew when he wasn't home. And apparently somehow we got in. I don't remember how we got in. We took the guy's furniture. When he came home, his house was empty of furniture because he had bought all of it at this store and didn't make any payments on it. And I just thought the whole time, please, please don't let this guy come home while we're taking his furniture. I mean, he could have just gone ballistic. Who knows what kind of person you're going to run into when you do that. And I know some of these channels, these more obscure channels on TV have airplane repo, and, you know, they repo these $500,000 motor homes. They repo private jets. Now think about this. People who drive jets who can't afford them and they're way behind in payments, it's hard for most people to relate to, but there are people who are behind in jet payments just like there are car payments. They send a pilot out in the middle of the night, fire it up and take off and bring the plane back. That's
a very good sound effect.
Well, that's very dangerous because to me, a private jet could very easily be owned by some cartel guy who cuts people's heads off and sends them to their families in a hat box. No thanks.
I had a business hire me one time to put a GPS device on two company vehicles because the guy suspected that his manager and his underling sales manager were having an affair, which they were, and I busted them. Mm-hmm. And so he fired both of them. And we even videotaped them being let out of the building with their stuff by police, you know, being let out of the building with their possessions and the whole bit. And he fired him and, you know, repossessed the cars. He let the guy take his car home. And it was a black Escalade. It was a really nice vehicle. Hmm. Really, really like a $60,000 vehicle. And he took the vehicle back home and then he wouldn't return it. So my client hired me to go repo the car and he gave me the fob to go get it. So I go and get it in the middle of the night and the fob didn't work. Mm-hmm. I call my client 11 o'clock and I'm like, this fob isn't working. And I said, you want me to just go knock on the guy's door and see if he'll give it up? He's like, well, it's worth a try. So I go and knock on the guy's door. He answers the door. And I said, yeah. I said, I know you know who I am. I said, I'm here to take this Escalade back to your former employer. He goes, that's not their car. I said, that black Escalade that had a GPS device on it last week that you were hanging out with Mrs. So-and-so at the Marriott downtown, that's not the company's Escalade? He goes, no, it's not. I said, I had a title in my hand. I had a release letter. I said, you mind if I look at it? He said, go ahead. He walks over there with me. I take the flashlight over, look through the windshield, and the VIN number was identical except for the last three numbers.
Ooh.
He had taken the company car back to the dealership where they had leased it from, turned it in, bought an identical vehicle, and brought that back home so that his wife wouldn't know that he got fired.
Oh, my God.
So his wife wouldn't know he got fired, and then they took his company car. He brought back the exact same identical vehicle.
Wow.
It was the next one that they hadn't sold one since they'd given that one to him. It was three numbers off on the VIN.
I got to tell you, people are very clever when they are.
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Desperation sometimes can show you how smart you are. Did you have anything else for Burke?
No.
Anybody else for the Burke segment?
No.
Limey? Nothing?
Nothing.
Shut her down. Burke segment is... officially closed. I know Dan's coming in today, and I think I mentioned this earlier. We only have two more sessions with him before Halloween, and you folks are welcome to join in. But I got to set the ground rules here. For the next couple of weeks, we will take two things from you. Your suggestions for jokes that kids can tell for the whole trick-or-treat thing, because even though we've never done it when we used to have trick-or-treaters, and I don't, as a kid, ever remember anybody saying, okay, tell me a joke. But there are people that expect a joke, and there's some great little Halloween jokes kids can tell. And every year we do this because we don't keep the list. We're lazy. We should. So good Halloween jokes. And then good, now this is for adults. I mean really good scary movies. The kind of movie that you put on pause and go make sure your door is locked because it's so, no, I'm not kidding, it's so believable you can't sleep that night.
Did you ever see Phantasm?
No.
Boy, that's a movie that was, it was so, it was about these kids, they're in this haunted house and there's this spiral ball that's like chasing them around and at the end of the movie, it's this 12-year-old kid and all his buddies and they're getting scared by this creepy dude in this haunted house running around and at the end of the movie, the kid wakes up. And he's been dreaming this whole movie, right? And his mom walks in. He's like, son, you were having a bad dream. Get your clothes on. Get the bus ready. Oh, God, thank God. You know, the kid's sweating and everything. He gets up out of his bed, and he goes to look at his full-length mirror, you know, and he's putting his pants on. He's putting his shirt on. And he looks down to tie his shoes, and he stands back up, and the creepy guy's there right behind him.
Boom, boom, boom.
Movie over.
See, and I like it when it's that, when like, it's you know, subtle like that yeah. and not that. Just you look up, and there and it's always a steamy mirror involved in the bathroom. You wipe the mirror,
yeah.
and looking at you from behind, there he is, whoever he is. Dan, don't worry about calling John Londolf, even though we were supposed to have him on like 10 minutes ago.
This is Tuesday.
It is?
Yeah, you do it.
Oh, boy.
On Tuesdays.
Edit out what I just did.
Radio edit.
Dan, don't worry about calling John Londolf, because today is Tuesday, and he's not on today.
Oh, okay.
So I'll take care of
all right.
it.
Yeah, you bet. You
and once we start the scary, I'll give you, and I know we do this every year, but I'll give you an example of the kind of movies I'm talking about. Take a movie like The Strangers.
Somebody just texted over and recommended that, The Strangers.
I'm going to tell you something. That movie is flat out just scary. And it is the kind of movie that will make you go to the window and look at it. And I know that sounds crazy, but there are movies that can scare you that bad. And I don't necessarily, to be scared doesn't have to be a whoo kind of a scare. It can just be this suspense and build up. And oh my goodness, what's around the corner? What's going to happen next? The Strangers.
What movie is it where, the police call back and go, the call is coming from
Scream.
Inside the house.
No, it's not
no,
Scream.
It's not Scream.
It's
no.
Something like A Stranger in the House.
Yeah,
or
something like that.
I think it was in Scream also, though. But that
But Scream did a whole series of sort of little parodies of other movies. And it may have been in there, but originally it was in a movie, I think, called A Stranger in the House. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something. When that part of the movie hits. This girl, I guess, is
she's babysitting
so yeah. she's kind of afraid anyway, and she keeps getting these calls, and they get creepier and creepier and scarier. So she has the police involved, and then she gets a call, I guess, from the police.
Yeah.
It's been a long time, and the officer says, Rebecca, or whatever her name is, these calls you're getting, they're coming from in that house. And boom, 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 boom.
Oh, man.
Now you know he's somewhere in the house on an extension phone. And for you youngsters out there who don't know what an extension phone is, back in the old days, you used to pick up a phone in your house, if you were lucky enough to have more than one phone, and many times when you'd pick it up, you'd hear your brother or your mother or somebody else was on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't uncommon. In fact, it happened regularly. That you'd be on the phone talking to your girlfriend, and your mom would go, Frank, will you get off the line?
Yeah.
I need to use the phone. Right in front of your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Embarrassing. But that was extension phones with one line coming in. And everybody at the house used either one or maybe if you're lucky, two phones. But and you ever remember trying to pick it up real easy so it wouldn't make a click and listen
all
in?
The time.
Oh yeah, yeah, and you did too?
Oh yeah.
And listen in on whoever.
And hold the button down so you
whenever I was on the phone and too long and my dad had obviously forgotten, the only thing he would do, like, he'd pick up the phone and then all I'd hear is beep, 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 beep.
Oh, he pushed the keypad.
Yeah, he didn't realize that I was on the phone, so he's picking up a thing and he's trying to dial another line.
Or he did know you were on the phone. And that was his not-so-subtle way of being saying, like, hey, get off the phone. I need to make a call. Yeah, but it used to drive our parents crazy because when you're on the phone with your girlfriend, it's a 2 or 3 hour deal. It is. And it's nonsense. It's puppy love talk.
Yeah.
Hey, what are you doing? You know? No, me either.
And it's the cord.
That 25-foot long cord.
It's stretched as far as you can go. And if you can take it down the steps, you're down the
steps.
As
far from your parents as you can get.
Right.
And close every door you can.
Yep.
And then you're on for 2 hours. And you say nothing except, so, that was a good movie, wasn't it? Well, yeah, it was. Hey, I saw your dad at the supermarket yesterday, and he said hi to me. Yeah. So, you going to that junior varsity dance? And just on and on forever and ever and ever and ever. And no wonder your parents finally said, I have got to make a phone call. And then the other thing that, until we die, will be in our memory, and I'm glad it is, because it's kind of a good memory. We've lived through, I think, maybe the best period you could live through, from black and white television and rotary dial phones to look at where we are now. If you had gone into Limey, do you ever know what a Peaches Records and Tape store was, or Tower Records?
Oh, yeah, Tower Records.
There used to be massive record stores.
Yeah.
Just hundreds of thousands of albums, and we had Peaches. And you'd go into Peaches, and it was just wall-to-wall albums. It was really impressive. If you had told somebody back then, somebody who knew what the future was going to be, walked up to them and said, hey, you know, one day you won't be going into a record store. And the person would go, well, where am I going to get my records? Oh, there won't be any records. Where am I going to get my music? Oh, you're just going to tap your cell phone. What's a cell phone? Oh, you'll see. You'll tap your cell phone, and that song you like will just be sucked out of the air into your phone. They'd go, get out of here. You're out of your mind. Because think about how impossible that sounds if you put yourself back in the days when we went into a record store. Does anybody here know the first record that you actually owned for yourself, that you bought for yourself, the actual record, what it was? I do.
Wow.
I do, too.
Okay, what was it?
Well, now, when you say record, I also had 8-tracks.
Oh, my goodness.
Before records. Well,
8-tracks.
You had 8-tracks before records?
Well, I think my mom bought me an 8-track player.
Yeah.
And what was the first cartridge, the first 8-track you ever bought?
I believe it was the greatest hits of Supertramp.
Okay.
Oh, mine was Peter Frampton.
You remember your first record?
Frampton Comes Alive. Yeah,
because I joined that Columbia Record Club.
You know, man.
Oh, the never-ending mailed record.
For one cent.
Oh, my goodness.
And then never buy the ones for $8.99. Yes. Oh. It was Def Leppard Pyromania.
Wow.
In the early 80s. Yep.
Why me, do you?
Never bought a record. Can I go with first cassette?
Sure.
The first cassette was Michael Jackson, Bad.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I just got my first ever cassette player with the headphones.
Went down to Mr. Roberts' music shop down by the railroad tracks in Humboldt, Tennessee. And Mr. Roberts had a little record store, and all the records were in a brown plain sleeve. There were 45s.
Wait, can I guess?
Go ahead.
Big Rock Candy Mountain.
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hound Dog. That was Preston.
Oh.
My first record. And so my brother... I want a record too. You know, he had to have a record too. Little brothers are kind of like, whatever you do, they got it. And he didn't even know any what kind of music he wanted. So he buys, of all things, Andy Williams, a song called You Butterfly by Andy Williams. That was his record. So we each had our own record. All right. Now, these were 78s. 78s were brittle, like a piece of tile. So we get back home, and I wore the expression, wore the needle out. I did, man. I must have played that thing 1,000 times. So, of course, it's my turn to use the record player. And my brother would throw his Andy Williams record on there, You Butterfly, until I sat on it. You can't sit on a 78. It'll break into 100 pieces. He cried. Oh, my goodness, he cried. You brought my record. And I wanted to say, well, you know what? A 4-year-old shouldn't be listening to Andy Williams. And it's true. You Butterfly. You find it? This is it.
Yeah, this is
it. Way to go, Limestone. Here we go.
You tell me you love me. You say you'll be true. Then you fly around with somebody new. But I'm crazy about you.
Sound like Andy Williams.
Yeah, that's him. That was the record. Wow, isn't this amazing?
That is pretty amazing.
That we can do this. It wasn't that many years ago that if you tried to tell somebody about a song, if they couldn't sort of hear it in their heads or you couldn't see, then they know what you're talking about. Now you just go, hang on, get your phone and go to YouTube. There. There. Shazam. You folks who don't have Shazam, what is the matter with you? It's a free app. I'm pretty sure it's free.
It is. It's free.
S-H-A-Z-A-M. This is the most incredible. I've had it for 10 years. I think, close to that.
Pretty much.
I did it again the other night. We're watching something on Netflix, and there's a scene in the movie, and they play a song. And I told my wife, I said, oh, man, what is that? I took my phone, hit Shazam. In less than 3 seconds, up comes the name of the song, the artist singing it, and then the album and anything else you want. And with one other tap, it'll download it right to your phone. Yeah, Shazam is one of the great apps ever. Because you can be in a store, and I've done this, or a casino, and there could be talking and noise, but you hold it up, and if there's a song playing, it'll grab it right out of that other noise and tell you within 3 seconds what that song is.
Shazam.
A listener just texted over a pretty good song. It might be an album. I don't know. This is going back, I think, before I was born, but After Midnight, Eric Clapton.
After Midnight. We're going to let it all hang out. That's a great song.
Do you remember the album it's from, though? Dan, come on. See if you know this. Come on. You can do this.
After Midnight.
Tim, will you Google it? See if you remember
what album it was on.
Who sings it?
Eric Clapton.
Why did they mention After Midnight?
Because we were talking about the first albums that we bought, LP records.
I think there's certain things that most people remember. First concert you ever went to. My first concert. I know all my stuff sounds... Yeah, compared to you guys, my stuff all sounds so lame.
Who was your first concert?
Glenn Campbell.
Nah, it's all right.
But it sounds lame compared to Aerosmith. And I know that.
My very first concert, John Denver.
People laugh at John Denver, but I'm going to tell you something. I love John
Denver. Keel Auditorium.
I love John
Denver. He was incredible. And it was the first time I ever smelled pot. We went with a friend of mine's sister, who was older. No. And she really liked John Denver. And we kind of liked him, too. But we went and saw him. And then we're like... What's that smell?
Yeah. No, I like John. John never got made fun of a lot, but he was very talented.
Yeah. Mine was at Six Flags, and it was the Commodores when they still had Lionel Richie, and they all wore the same outfits, and they all had froze.
Oh, wow.
Commodores were great.
Mm-hmm. And Six Flags used to be a big concert venue back in the day. There was big acts.
Old Glory.
You know, I saw at Six Flags. Jerry Lee Lewis, for goodness sake. Come on over, baby. Pull on the string. Yeah, he was there. And he got so dirty that the management had to step out on stage and take him aside. You know, hey, man. And some people with their kids, come on, let's go. They were leaving. Come on.
He was the piano player, right?
No, Jerry Lee Lewis played piano and sang. But he got so dirty that people were getting up with their kids and leaving.
Wow.
And one of the things he did, he took the microphone, you know, hand helmet, and shoved it down his pants and then poked it out like he had a big boner. You can't do that at Six Flags. So, it got real awkward and uncomfortable there. I need a little bit of business, or it's going to be really awkward and uncomfortable when I don't have a job anymore. The business, first business is that of Johnny Landoff Chevrolet. Johnny Landoff Chevrolet has been a part of this show now for 14 years. It's the official dealership of a large morning show in the afternoon. And we don't have a problem with somebody who goes and buys a Bentley, you know, or a Mercedes, or something that is not in competition with Johnny Landoff. Now, you may say, well, the only thing in competition would be another Chevy dealer. No. GMC, that's a competitor. We try to steer those people over to our side if we can, because if you're interested in the GMC, you should be interested in the Chevy Silverado or any of the Chevy products. Ford. Ford makes a pickup truck. We'd like to think that we could steer some people away from that over to a Silverado. So you see, we don't have a problem with you if you buy something. If you buy a Bugatti for $2 million, we're not going to be upset with you. In fact, welcome to the AM and the PM world, and please put us in your will. But if you're looking at a vehicle that, if there's any possible way you might also be interested in a Chevy and your AM and the PM, just please give them a shot. Just give them a shot at your business. That's all we ask. They'll treat you right. The prices are competitive, and they've been doing it a long time. His daddy started this a long time ago, and they're in the same location they've been since 1960. Great selection, pre-owned also, and if they don't have it, they'll find it for you. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, the Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270 or 24/7 at Londoff.com.
Let's check traffic now with Tori Lyons.
Traffic is sponsored by DEATakeback.com. An accident westbound 64 at Hampton. It has the right lane blocked. Also eastbound 64, the ramp to 6th Street remains closed downtown. And westbound 44 on the brakes at Shrewsbury, southbound 270 at Page. Your unused prescription drugs could end up misused or stolen. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back at DEA's National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, Saturday, October 27th. Find a collection site at DEATakeback.com. I'm Tori Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the large morning show in the afternoon.
Get Memphis and get in the game with Grizzlies 10 and 22 game packs starting as low as $13 per game. Get great seats at great prices to see your blue-collar Grizz host LeBron James and the Lakers, Steph Curry and the Warriors, and more. So get tickets today. Call 901-888-HOOP or click Grizzlies.com.
Doug Vaughn here to tell you about Ragazzi's and their banquet rooms. Ragazzi's is popular for their rehearsal dinners and are already booking holiday parties. If you're looking for a location to hold your holiday party, work luncheon, or even an extended family get-together, look no further than Ragazzi's. Their banquet room offers sit-down seating for 80, or for a more casual event, the upstairs banquet room sits 60. Pair that with the trademark 32-ounce fish bowls, and you'll have everything you need for a really good time. 4945 Daggett on the Hill and Ragazzi's.com.
Get Memphis and get tickets, Grizz fans. Don't miss your Grizzlies as they battle the Phoenix Suns Saturday, October 27th at 7 p.m. All fans will receive a 2018 Grizzlies Magnet Schedule presented by Pinnacle Financial Partners. For tickets, call 901-888-HOOP or shopgrizzlies.com today.
There you go. My first record. Little five-year-old bald-headed kid dancing in the carport.
That's radio law. You got to give opposing politicians equal time, and that's what Limey just did. He gave your brother his time, and he gave you your time.
Wow. We had a... Oh, my God. See, here's what happens. Here's the problem with old people. We start talking about stuff. We can't stop because one thing makes you remember something else. First dance and first girl I ever remember having to dance with, and the key word there is having to, because when you're 7, 8, 9 years old, you don't want to go to a dance, and you don't want to dance with a girl.
No.
Her name was Gail, and she was on a 1 to 10, maybe a 3. And and I didn't want to dance with, well, I was like 8 or so. I didn't want to dance with her. I wanted to dance with Joe Helen Hodge because Joe Helen Hodge was cute and hot. And I know Dan had danced with his mother before. So before the dance, my mother had me practice in the carport with one yellow bug light in the ceiling of the carport with a record player with the door open so you could hear it through the screen. And I would practice just the square up, over, back. Oh, that's not even dancing, that box step square.
Yeah. You got to learn how.
It's just to keep you from standing there.
Oh, right. Okay.
You need to learn how to imperial, buddy. Yeah, well,
that's for you and your mom. Hey, I've just enough time to do this, and we can get back to this. Dan Buffel will be here. Thompson Price. I was glad that Tom Price and his wife were able to join us Saturday night at the Family Arena. Sorry they couldn't have made our little advertising dinner on Thursday, which was really a success. We're going to do that again. Here's what's going to be a success for you. Your kitchen. Your new kitchen or your new bathroom. And I say new because it will be new. The rest of your house could be 50, 100 years old. Your bathroom or kitchen or whatever you decide to do is going to be 2018 and beyond. And it's going to make you want to do things to the rest of your house because it's so far ahead. And they have an ability to look ahead so that whatever you do, because when you do things right, it's not inexpensive. You want it to be... You want it to have that wow blow-away factor for a long, long time. So they know what's also going to look great and be serviceable for 10, 15, 20 years down the road. They are Thompson Price. Please make sure, no matter who you talk to, that one of the companies has the name Price in the name. The showroom is in De Pere. It is less than a quarter mile east of 270 on Manchester. Thompson Price, Kitchens, Baths, Homes. Don't go away because Dan Buffa is in the green room getting ready to talk TV shows and movies. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Charlie Marlowe. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, and 590thefan.com St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm John Jeffries. A majority of likely voters in America are showing support of President Trump's efforts to stop the caravan of migrants from crossing the U.S.-Mexico border. The last Rasmussen report says 51% of voters think the caravan should be stopped, while 30%